Do I want to know what parrot eagle means?
Oh, geez. I need to change that. I'm doing a... So, you know, I'm a trained coach in
Right. Nation,
and we had to do like a whole personality test thing for what kind of leaders we were, and it's based on birds. And so the teacher wanted us to put our primary and secondary birds when we were doing class. Let me change it.
Yeah, so that's on Becca's Zoom name. I mean, I don't know what kind of Zoom calls you're having with Will over there, but you know, if parrot eagle works for y'all, who am I?
Promise, not a sex thing. I mean, it's a leadership thing.
A bird
thing.
Fetish is not a new one, I'm sure. So you know.
Oh my god, this escalated quickly.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, at midnight tonight, I suppose I will be.
You will be
40.
40. You are so young.
See, meanwhile, I feel old, but
I understand that. But as someone who's turning 50 in just a few short months,
I get it.
I was on an HOA meeting, and I always forget the president of our HOA how young she is, because she's extraordinarily capable. And very like a strong leader. Like, she wasn't born until 1990.
Oh, okay.
So at least 1990, because we were talking about how she wasn't around for the 70s or 80s. So, you know, and I'm reminded about how young sometimes people are. I kind of sometimes think that everybody who is an adult around me is the same like level of adult. You know what I mean?
Same level of adult.
You know, I assume that every adult has the same level of life that I have. And I forget that there are lots of adults that are, you know, in their 20s, like my child, who I spent the weekend with, you know.
Totally.
Pretty good, but also, you know. Oh, yeah, he's only 20, you know. So that's, yeah. Anyway.
Hi, Lexi.
Hello. Good evening.
Do we have Kaya joining us this evening?
We do. Hopefully not, but she's here.
She's here. We got to do what we got to do. It's all what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just saying, it is Becca's birthday at midnight.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it is your birthday, Lexi, on what day?
Friday.
Friday.
Oh, geez. I didn't realize our birthdays were like so close.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're having your birthday thing like tomorrow night, which obviously I can't come to because I can't get to, you know, upstate New York.
Well, the actual thing is like May 11th.
Oh, right.
But my parents are just, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going out with my family tomorrow.
Got it. Okay. This is why I'm confused. It's not just the MS flare. It's making my brain boggled with that. That's a big thing that's happening. So just forewarning. But Lexi's birthday party thing is on Thursday, which I can't go to because of conflicts here with like carpool and all that stuff.
I'm so sad you're missing out on a seafood feast, and like 200 people are coming now.
I know.
Oh, wow,
it's gonna be
huge. Oh my god,
well, maybe not 200, but it's gonna be a lot of people.
That's awesome. Good for you guys.
It's a lot. So, but I do get to see you tomorrow, Lexi. So
you do,
Which I need you bad because it's after my big weekend, my big weekend down in Virginia Tech. I'm in a world of hurt today.
Aww.
And I had to do an outreach thing yesterday. So it's like the whole weekend. So I spent, you know, all weekend moving around, and Drake came with me everywhere, but even with Drake, it still hurts. Drake is the name of my cane, y'all. Mm-hmm. Just in case, and yes, that's why.
How'd you pick Drake?
Becca doesn't
funny
know.
Story.
I want to hear a
story about that.
Are you sure you want to hear, Becca?
I mean, sure? I don't know if I do, but
you might have to pray afterward.
Yeah,
those are the best stories. Go ahead.
There was a video leaked of sex tape of Drake leaked.
Oh, okay.
And my cane is my third leg, so
that makes sense.
Ergo, connected.
Got it.
The dots.
Got it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. There is a, my PG-13 name for her is Eileen, but really I just started calling it Drake everywhere now.
So really your cane is non-binary because yes. It has both male and female names, which is
absolutely
cool.
100% non-binary. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. And is equally pansexual, attracted to pan-canual, attracted to all canes of all shapes and sizes and colors. whether you could be a quad cane, you could be a single tip cane, you could be like mine is like a one of the tri. I forget. There's all kinds of specific names for the different kinds of feet of canes. I'm learning about mobility devices. Because nice. You know, babes with mobility aids, right? Hashtag.
Anyway. Hashtag mobility aids.
Hashtag babes with mobility aids. It's actually is a real hashtag.
Is it really? That's cool.
It is. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna have to look at Drake tomorrow. I'm gonna study Drake.
Yeah.
Like how many little pointy thingies on the bottom do you have? How many?
It's a triangle. It's one of these tri-tip ones, and it kind of like. It can go all angle-y, you know. You know what I mean? Like it has, it's like jointed. The little bottom is jointed versus just like a straight cane.
Gotcha.
But you know, different people need different things, right? Like mine's like adjustable and stuff. A lot of times, MSers like me who have like. Because it's like our disability is like part time, and it's not all the time. It's like I don't need. You know, Drake as much as other, sometimes I need him more than others and, you know, all these things. It's just like it did. Since you're not using it all the time and stuff, sometimes people use walking sticks is what they're called. You know, Christina Applegate designed one that looks really cool. And I know like Jamie Lynn Sigler uses walking sticks, which I think are maybe slightly different than canes because they're just like a little bit different, like with the hand, like there's certain things that make canes like more like a medical device versus like just a stick to help balance you. And like with mine, it's like I'm still figuring out how to best move around without excruciating pain, but with like being able to do it, be considering I have no feeling, you know, and half of it doesn't work, but then when I use it too much or use it a lot, then what is remaining of the leg hurts a lot because it's compensating so hard to walk like normal. So anyway, so trying to figure it all out. And, you know, it is what it is when you're in the middle of a flare, relapse, whatever you want to call it. I don't like calling them relapses just because that word doesn't work really well in my alcoholic root world. So they call them what, relapses or exacerbations or flares or whatever. But, you know, when I'm in that, I'm, you know, getting tired and stuff anyway, easily. So a couple of days of activity was just way too much for me. So I spent the day like today was really bad. But yeah, anyway. So
well, and life. I've been flaring too. So I think it's just because of the change in weather that often causes flares for autoimmune disorders. So
right. So is that like, I mean, you don't have to get like too specific, but it's like you said your gut, right? So you're like,
yeah, it's mostly like GI stuff, but then I've got other like neurological stuff that happens sometimes too, which is like super weird where I'll be like doing something and all of a sudden like my hand starts tingling and hurting and I'm like, that's different.
Yep. I know that feeling.
Like, where'd that come from? I don't know. This is my weird happened. Body.
Just happens. Yeah, fun. And I'm starting a new medication, a new MS medication. We're switching meds, so that's going to be a huge change. So
God bless you.
I don't react well to med changes. I like react like very sensitive to it, so this is not going to be fun. So but
yeah, starting new meds is always a crapshoot. You're like, is this going to make me worse? Is it going to make me better? Or is it just going to be nothing?
But it's awful in the meantime while you're adjusting right. to it. It's
totally.
And these particular kinds of meds, you know, these whatever B cell. I don't know, even though I got a whole package in the mail today about it. It's some B cell something or other. I don't know. They're with the way they work on your body. I have no idea. I just know Lexi will make me feel better. She'll give me some fancy herbs for it and I'll poop it all out and it'll be fine. Everything will be fine. But the Fraudcast will be right back.
And now back to the show.
We are doing Seeking Sister Wives. We're here for Seeking Sister Wives. We're on season 5, episode 7.
Seven.
Yes. Seeking. What was it? Seeking
answers.
Answers. I was like seeking clarity.
Answers. God, Jesus, jizz. A Brazilian wife. The list goes on.
List goes on and on and on. So, we are going to, okay. So I don't know. Like there was a lot that happened in this episode, but also not anything right. that happened in this episode. We can like dispose of the Sulehis maybe. I don't know. Pretty quickly.
Who?
I don't know. I screwed up the name. I'm sorry.
The
Muslim couple.
Oh, Salahuddin or
Salahuddin. Yeah, they, okay. yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can summarize in 20 seconds.
Yes, exactly.
Go ahead, do it.
Get it out of the way.
Just get out of the way. All right, they go on a date with this girl, Keisha, who's 26 years old. It goes extremely terribly. Keisha is disrespectful by asking
questions. Wait, her name is Keisha too?
I'm sorry, Alexis is my name. I just yes. didn't want to say my own name. Sorry. Keisha's the one that ghosted them. My bad. Yeah. Yeah, but Alexis is 26 and she's asking them all kinds of like dumb questions and they're uncomfortable. And she made Nyla feel uncomfortable. And she looked like she was eating chicken tenders and fries while drinking her sweet wine. It was just
like,
a very
tasted like apple juice.
Pretty much. Yeah. Fruit snacks and apple yeah juice. So then they both decided that she wasn't for them, and the funny part was at the end the producers asked her how she felt about the date and Alexis was like, oh, it went great, we're just everything was so wonderful or whatever. I don't know whatever she said, but it was not did not go yeah. well
did no, not well, that whole thing cues. Was stupid. So like I mean they start out by saying like, oh, you ready to go meet her? And she's like, we've already met her. Remember, like, I guess she was reminding her husband what their storyline was or something.
And that's true because then
they said, and then they're like, oh yeah, the story is they met her at some pool hall,
right?
And
but they clearly had never met her. So like, I'm wondering if she was one of the ones that like Danielle talked about where they like pay someone to like. Do whatever.
Yeah. And I 100% believe that was the situation because of the slippage of what, you know, it was verbiage, but also clearly they had never met each other. And he's trying to say like, oh yeah, I talked to her. And this is what it's like dating in the wild. I told you it's not going to work out, you know,
so again, awkward.
All fake. This and the Ryans and the other couple, like it's all fake. Like the only one we care about show are the Davises and the Merrifields.
I also like when she first walked in and they were like commenting on her clothes, like it made me really uncomfortable.
That was weird.
Yeah, because they were, and I didn't even think she was wearing anything crazy. Like sure, she was wearing a short skirt, but like her top covered everything, so I was like a little confused.
She was going out for drinks on a date. Yeah, like well, of right, course
like, of course you're going to wear that if you're going out for drink. Like, I don't know. It was just very strange. I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, they were weirdly judgmental about, like, I don't know, just like, she was all, well, of course it's the, I'm going to ask the questions. And why would you think you get any say in how you date us? Like, because, you know, there were the conversation about, do you date him first and then all of them, or do you date all of them and then just him? And she said, the wife here said, oh, you date all of us and then him. And she's like, oh, I thought it was the other way. And they show like in the moment or whatever you call those, the talking head. Yeah. The talking head of her saying, how does she even think that she would have any say in how that is done? Like I control that. Like, as if it's so absurd to think that somebody might have a say in how they date somebody. Like, that.
Well, and we've found that all these couples / families do the dating thing very differently. Like, some of them do start with just the person dating, right? And then, mm-hmm. like, and then meet the person. And some of them do it where you're dating everybody at the same time. Like, they've all done it very differently. So it's like not even a weird question to ask.
It's not. Well,
if the show is actually authentic, then they would have probably discussed this before meeting, right? You'd have a conversation about what your expectations are, at least before you'd go out, I would think. Like, hey, this is our goal, or this is what we're looking for, but it ain't real.
Yeah. Right. Well, which then supports that they had never met. Because I feel like they would have had, like, if they had introduced themselves and talked about it, like, there would have been at some point been like, okay, we're going to go on a date with all of us because that's what we do at the start.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was just stupid and weird. And it just, okay, move along. They, at least they didn't have mother-in-law or whatever there to talk
about. Yeah, I was getting sick of that plot. I was like, we need to not do that anymore.
If we saw one more scene in the kitchen, I swear, at the dinner table. Yeah, okay, so we'll start with the Merrifield family then.
Okay. Let's just go in there.
Okay, so they're back in Colorado from their trip. And they break their news to what looks like Danielle's family, not his family, that they are now engaged to Natalia. And the look of the family members, her parents, her brother, and his wife was just so unhappy and shocked.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
Didn't her parents go with her to Mexico with the boys?
Yeah, well, with Bert.
No, but didn't they go this because they brought the boys down this time?
I don't think they went.
I don't remember seeing them. I remember seeing the boys, but I don't know.
Maybe I just assumed her parents went. Okay.
Well, then we learn that Garrick only spoke to Natalia for 2 to 3 months, didn't meet her, but that one time, and then proposed to her. So how do you really date somebody who doesn't speak your language in 2 to 3 months? And feel confident enough that they're going to be the one that you're supposed to be with.
Like, well, he's confident she's desperate enough to pretend that she's into what he's offering her because she wants the green card and to get out, and she wants all the money that he's going to give to her. And of course, he hasn't given her a ton yet because it's only been 2 months. It's only been so much money you can give out in 2 months.
That's when he says that, well, she's a lawyer and her dad has money or whatever. And she wants to be a lawyer here in the States or whatever. First of all, she doesn't speak English. Okay. So, and I'm not judgmental on that, but I'm saying, like, how do you come over, become a citizen and have to learn the language to then take the bar to do whatever you need to do to get your
right.
Like, that's a lot.
And well, I'm pretty sure, like, you need some sort of schooling in addition to passing, like, doing the bar. Course. Because, like,
it doesn't transfer.
Right. Yeah. Like, my brother was in classes with a lot of international students in law school because there were a lot of people who were practicing lawyers in their own country. And then when they came to the States, they had to, like, redo
the
degree. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And a lot of
MDs.
There's a lot of international students who come over and get there's a thing called an LLM, which is like a master's in law, but you actually get it after your JD. So it sounds like a mid-level, but it's not. It's actually higher. And it's sort of a specialization. You see them often in taxation, and you see them in a couple other very specialty areas. They're not common. It's not a big thing. Most people don't get them. You can get them in certain things. It doesn't necessarily help you. I mean, they're very, very uncommon, right? In certain things, but you get them in, like, comparative law, which is studying, you know, the different law policies or whatever structures of different countries and how they all work together, the Hague and and all of those international comparative law type stuff. You can get them in those, which is often for the international students who have their respective countries. Equivalent of a JD, you know, they're a lawyer, and then they come here and get this other degree and then, you know, go on.
So at the very least, she'd have to do that, right?
And how old is she? She's like a fetus, right? So she's like
in her mid-20s too, early mid-20s.
She's like 21 years old or something, right?
No, she's like 25, I think, or 24. She's not 21. She's definitely older than that.
No, I think she's mid-20s. Yeah.
Okay.
I do remember
still
that.
Still not a lot of time for her to have gone to through any kind of, we can't assume she hasn't had any schooling, but I mean, I don't know what Brazilian schooling is to get to be a lawyer, but I feel like Garrett calling her lawyer is the same way Usman called Lisa doctor. Which is to say, not at all.
Yeah. And then Danielle's brother brought up a good point about what happens now that Danielle and Garrick are no longer married. And if he marries Natalia, what happens to Danielle and the, you know, does she just get thrown to the streets if they get, you know, divorced and she has nothing? She
right.
has no rights. She has no financial anything because she's no longer his wife.
After I mean, she isn't now. So
right,
I mean,
right.
Regardless yeah. of him being remarried or not, she got divorced and without any protection. So she's, yeah, she's SOL. Yeah. And well, word on the street is she has another baby.
What?
Oh,
yes.
What do you mean?
She has a baby girl, allegedly. Now, this is like people have seen pictures because they put their house up for sale. There's like baby stuff in it, and that's how like people figured it out. But I think in some of her interviews, the way she's sitting, I've caught a couple of times where her hand is doing the thing oh. on the top of your belly. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So go back and watch it. That so the word on the street is she has a baby. So she might be pregnant in these, which would maybe explain her blow up later when she's like, she hasn't texted me back. She saw my text messages, hasn't texted me back. Which
interesting.
We'll get. Anyway. Yeah.
I have a question about that scene, but we can
yeah.
keep going with this okay. one first.
So when Daniel's family asked Garrick like why he decided to go so fast, he said, I guess I'm just obeying God, when he was confronted with practical questions that practical, intelligent people would ask. I'm just obeying God.
Yeah.
I think this is the best. I'm going to use this anytime. Like, Katrina, why are you standing in front of the freezer eating that gallon of ice cream?
Straight I'm just out obeying of the
freezer. God. Just obeying God again.
God told me I needed dairy and sugar.
Right. So, like, okay, let's talk about, like, obeying God and, like, pacing.
Please.
So, like, off, like, if God sends a message to us to do something, because God still acts, so, like, this does happen periodically. Like, unless there's like a specific urgency to it, like it doesn't mean do it immediately. So like I'm confused because every time someone's like, how come that you're moving so fast? And he's done this with Danielle. He's done it with Danielle's family. He's done it with Natalia when Natalia was talking about stuff. Like his whole answer is, well, God made it clear and like I'm obeying God. Okay, but like God didn't say like and step on it.
Well, apparently he did in Garrick's like, world.
I mean, Garrick's mind, but like he has not said anything specific to clarify that God actually told them to like do this quickly. Right. Like,
right. Well, he describes it in this scene about and he makes sure to say that Danielle felt it too. Right. This
right.
this feeling and this thing washed over them and the waves and all the things. But yeah. Okay. You felt God's presence, I mm-hmm. guess that's what that is. But I sure. don't see like a soliloquy in there that lists out a bullet point list of all of these things you have to do and the dates you have to complete them by.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That wasn't
that's
included.
What I mean. Like, I'm not saying that you can't get a message from God with some urgency, but like he's never fully like articulated, like, yes, God said we need to do this quickly. That's never been a thing. He's like, oh, like we felt peace, or like, oh, we felt happy and we laughed, or like whatever. And like those are all wonderful.
We felt happy and we laughed.
Right.
Oh, that's the bar? That's
so I have a comment about that because in one of the classes I teach at the seminary, I do a unit on the charismatic movement. And so like, this is our history lesson for today. There was a revival that broke out in Toronto in the 90s, like 1990s. I should be clear. 1990s. I don't want people thinking they're like 1790s. There was, yeah. I mean, maybe there was, but anyway. There was a lot of what people in Christian circles call manifestations of the spirit, right? So like, people being slain in the spirit, like getting knocked over, or like people feeling God's presence. But the biggest thing that was a hallmark of this particular revival, and it became called the Toronto Blessing. So if you want to read more about it, you can Google Toronto Blessing and it'll pop up, is holy laughter, where like the Holy Spirit came powerfully present and people like started uncontrollably laughing. So you know how we've talked about, like, I've tried to research like what their background is and I can't find anything. I'm wondering if they come from a more Pentecostal background, because he's referencing these manifestations of the spirit that I haven't heard him like talk about before.
Interesting. Look at you, religious sleuth. Look at that. Like, that's a research project, right? Is like how you research somebody's religious background via appearances on a shitty reality TV.
I feel like Becca should slide into his DMs, and because you're a pastor, you'd be like, I am, like, you know, just wanting to know a little bit more about your background. I'm doing some research.
He probably and wouldn't want to talk to me. Right, but he probably wouldn't. I mean, I am doing research, but he probably wouldn't want to talk to me because I'm a female pastor.
Oh, yeah. Well.
As proven by his sexist monologue later.
Or it's the opposite, and he would love to talk to you because he feels like he can.
He can save my soul.
Right. Oh,
he's going to save your soul with his Jesus jizz.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You're going to be the fifth rose.
Yeah. The vagina necklace.
They can't even get to the second row, so like,
so it's a while before he's getting to you.
We got time.
Oh my God!
But yeah, but that's what, like, I found that very interesting, because he has talked about like experiences of God before, but usually they're like not specific experience, right? They're like, oh, we felt peace, or oh, like we got a message from God about like a rose, right? Like a, I forget what he called it, sweet rose, I think. Like that kind of stuff. And so like you hear that in a lot of Christian circles, that people are getting messages from God. But like this was the first time where I was like, huh, I wonder if they're Pentecostal or charismatic.
You know, it's really fascinating, I think, when you say something like, I could watch the show and be like, oh, we barely talked about God at all, other than his, you know, vision or whatever, his warmth that was like pee in a pool, like washing over him. Other than that, I would be like, oh, there's like nothing theology related at all. But then you come along and you're like, every other word is based on this, 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 or this. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, you know, Garrick really does pull these random things out, and it really connects those dots so much more for me, you know, that he actually is not just saying, oh, cause God, like he's saying, cause God and the hyssop and the roses and the carbon monoxide fumes from the car in the garage are all mixed together, and suddenly here's a vagina necklace that I designed for all my wives.
Well, and that's why it's like interesting to hear him talk. Like, obviously it's crap, but like he's pulling from stuff. Like, he's just not come, it's not gobbledygook, right? Like, he's
that's what I always thought it was.
No, like he's pulling. Well, and it's interesting too that this has come up way more in this season, because the last few seasons, like, he'll maybe say something like once in passing and then like never talk about it again. And I don't know if they're editing it specifically this way.
Right.
And maybe he talked about it like it before, but it just didn't make the cut. I don't know. But like, they're clearly highlighting more of the spirituality, theology stuff with him this season. Right. So I don't know if that's, they're emphasizing it more, or they just decided to edit that in more. I don't know.
Yeah. It is really interesting though, because, yeah, you know, and I still get, you know, and it'll never end as, you know, Danielle, why are you with him? You clearly disagree with everything he's saying. Well, yeah, except for that she does disagree with him. And now she's so tortured because she disagrees with him, but she doesn't think she's allowed to disagree with him. So now she's trying to do all the mental and spiritual gymnastics she can to change her own feelings, which apparently are inherently bad. We'll talk more about that, to fit into what Garrick wants, because all this is Garrick wants what Garrick wants, and those physical or man-made desires or whatever, his Garrick desires, he is using God as an excuse, and he probably actually believes that God is telling him this stuff, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
And so, yeah, versus I've been watching the Chad Daybell trial.
Uh-huh.
And that is bananas. We're hearing audio recordings of like him blessing his blessings on Alex Cox and how he's gonna pass soon and thankful for all the things that he's done for him. And then he did die 2 weeks later. Like,
Is he the one that got shot, right? Like the Alex?
No, that's the one who killed everybody else, but then died himself on the toilet. Some weird health incident. Some heart incident.
Right, okay.
Whoa.
Heart incident.
That story was so crazy.
Yeah, anyway, Chad Daybell trial is going on, so there's just like tons of this coverage. I've been just glued to it. It's been fascinating. Wow. Anyway.
Well, later on, we see Garrick going mountain biking with his best friend, Bill. And when Garrick tells Bill what's going on with him in Italian,
he's good black tank top.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to spend more time with Natalia and we're planning on getting married in Brazil legally and then filing it in the United States after. Bill said Garrick is a crazy bastard. And I was like, finally, somebody has something like real to say about him.
But he's like, also like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's like, this is exactly what you'd do.
I've known Garrick since like elementary school. And yeah, he's not surprised.
Yeah.
So.
Like, and he's, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do here? And Garrick's all like, I don't know. Like, he hasn't considered any of these things. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay down there? Is she going to come up here? Well, she's got to stay down there. So you're going to go down there, marry her and leave her down there? Like what? And then, oh, wait, no, you're going to go down there by yourself because you're leaving your non-wife at home who's probably can't go because she's pregnant and can't fly anymore. So you're going to fly down there. You're going to marry her without any of the rest of the family. And then you're going to stay down there. Like what is happening here?
Sounds like a good vacation to get away from reality and just distract him.
Yes. And I also like, this was also something, and they didn't bring this up, but I wonder like if there's rules around applying for K-1 visas back to back. And so that's why they have to do a marriage visa versus a K-1 visa.
It's like red flagged.
I don't know if there's a time. I can't remember from the days where we used to have the visa officer on the show, but I think you can get two fiance visas in your lifetime.
Really?
So there is a limit. I don't know if there's a time frame between them, but I wonder. Yeah, I do wonder about the why. Maybe choosing to do the spousal versus the would make it more likely to be accepted.
Yeah.
Because they're probably thinking the visuals don't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right.
Well, don't look good.
Speaking of visuals, did you guys see that the little wordage hanging on the wall of the Merrifields house? A little quote.
Wall art? Oh, was it? It was 1 Corinthians 13. Are you referencing that? Yeah.
That was a Bible quote. See, I wouldn't even known.
Yeah, it was love is patient, love is kind, right?
Yeah. I just thought it was something that she was trying to tell herself every day to get through her day.
Nope, it's 1 Corinthians 13. It's often read at weddings.
Which I specifically told our pastor. I was like, I don't mind like love Bible quotes because I think that there's some really great things in there, but it will not be Corinthians.
So overdone, and it's not even like in context. The Bible passage is not even about like romantic love.
So I either have never paid attention, or I was drunk at weddings, or my friends never had this in their weddings
because I don't ever. Love is patient, love is kind.
Yeah,
and does not envy or boast.
It does not envy. Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah,
you've heard it before. You just don't realize it's from the Bible. Probably.
I just don't pay attention. I guess maybe I'm just oblivious. I don't know. Yeah, oblivious is the right word.
See, this is why I'm here, to be like, that's from the Bible.
Right. All the things Garrick says are actually based in some kind of biblical context.
Everyone listening is like, duh, Alexis. Like, how did you not know that?
No, I like, it's weird out of context, right? Like, you didn't have any context for it. So you see the words and you're like, how would you know that's from the Bible? Right. Also, Garrick, like, is pulling stuff that's like legit scripture and then like twist it into whatever he wants it to mean. So
yeah, this is true.
Yeah. You take love is patient, love is kind as, oh, I've got it. It's time for me to go, you know, rail Natalia down in Mexico or Brazil, you know,
for a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well,
so
then
what else
Danielle
is going on in the scene?
Yeah. So Danielle then is fighting with Garrick and saying that she doesn't think things are where they should be with communication between her and Natalia, and that Natalia and Garrick talk a lot and respond to messages on social media, but every time like she reaches out to Natalia, it either takes her a long time to answer, or she doesn't really answer. So she's not feeling that connection.
She's feeling like the third wheel. Like, Natalia doesn't love her the way that she loves Garrick. And she's feeling left out.
So that was clearly filmed on her phone when they were mm-hmm. having that argument about that. Do you all think that he knew she was filming that? Because I got the impression that he did not.
I agree with you. I do not think he knew.
I don't think he knew it was being filmed. Yeah.
Yeah, because he had a very different tone of voice than when he's on camera usually.
He looked a lot less confused too. Did you notice that? I was like, oh, all of a sudden he has his wits about him. Like, he doesn't look like.
Well, yeah, because he's not trying to make all these mental gymnastics about how his really fucked up thinking, like he's trying to like sanitize his thoughts and feelings and actions and for a public audience, right? So he uses all these fancy words and is, oh, I didn't know, or whatever. And then off, when he doesn't think he's being filmed, he's more free to express himself as he truly feels, which is, you want to talk about it?
I have the quote.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so after they're arguing in the kitchen, we see Garrick having his on-the-fly interview. And this is when he says this very sexist and concerning quote. I think women are emotional and nurturing. But at the same time, I think it makes them more vulnerable to thoughts, ideas, you know, that come into the mind. And then they run with that emotionally and having to learn to, well, not every thought that enters your mind is a good thought to entertain. What the hell kind of word salad garbage put together sexist shit was that?
Sorry, a lot of Kaya. Fucking words to say that Danielle needs to shut the fuck up. Becca, you want to take this one?
Okay, so historically... women's emotions have been used against them, right? So like one of the major like medical diagnoses in the past was like hysteria. For women, right? And so like he's
but
literally
prescribed just... like you must go to the seaside for the weekend, like that's I want that prescribed.
Well,
that for...
it was either that or literally a hysterectomy, so these were the options, right? Because hysteria came from the womb. So, yeah. And so he's basically pulling like sexism from like Victorian times and before. Like, it's disturbing.
Well, at first I was like, when he first started talking about women and emotions, I was like, okay, like I get it. That sometimes women can be hormonal changes. Things like that. So I was like, but then I knew he was going to go take it to a darker place. I was like, here we go. Let's see what he says. Let's see where he's going to go with this.
And when he paused just... after when they have a, they think they can have a thought or whatever. Was that beginning? Read that beginning part again.
I think women are emotional and nurturing, but at the same time, I think it makes them more vulnerable to thoughts, ideas.
The long pause after thought was like, oh God, oh no, the poor woman's going to have a thought. Better stop it.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like people patting like women on the head and being like, don't worry your pretty little head about this. Yeah. The men will take care of it.
Don't have a thought. Don't you dare get a thought in that head of yours.
Yeah. They come into the mind and then they run with that emotionally. And so basically he's saying like they shouldn't just react quickly to thoughts that enter their mind. They should take their time to think about it before they let their emotions drive them.
So meanwhile, he was like yelling at her and gaslighting her when they were in the kitchen and being like, but you don't talk to Natalia, but it's all in your head, basically. And she's like, how many times have you talked to her today? Oh, really? She hasn't responded to me at all. Like,
right. There's a difference between her going 8 hours without talking to Natalia because she's busy and Natalia responding to Garrick, but not her within the same time period. There are times Katrina texts me and I won't text you for a day because I'm super freaking busy.
Right.
But, I'm also not
ignoring me.
I'm also not responding to everybody else. So there's that. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because we developed a very good texting relationship in that regard. We never have to apologize. Oh, sorry, I didn't respond earlier. Like, we don't have to bother with all that nonsense.
I love that. But yeah, it was just really painful to watch that whole section because I was like, he's gaslighting her. He's like trying to convince her that like, oh, you're a woman. You're just overly emotional right now. Like, it was just disturbing.
I mean, yeah. Granted, though, I mean, she was kind of hysterical. I mean, am I right?
I mean, she was emotional for sure, but like,
it was a build up.
Right. Like, she's been holding all that in for a while. I'm not saying it wasn't justified. Yeah.
I just have flashbacks to when Bert was breaking up with them and she's like, but she was my sister. Like, that's what it was reminding me of, you know, but she's my texts.
Like, there's some sort of attachment. Some sort of unhealthy attachment that Danielle has to the situation she's in with Garrick. I don't want to say the women, but just the situation. I don't know.
Does that make sense? Like, she needs an ally and a friend so bad because her relationship with Garrick is so terrifying and so unfulfilling that she needs like a best friend who is like, so that she can trauma bond with in a way. Maybe.
Yes, exactly.
Like, Becca, maybe you have better thoughts on this, but like,
totally.
But she needs a friend. She needs a best friend. And so this way she can have all of that, I think.
So I've been thinking a lot about this as I've been watching Big Love at the same time, which has been kind of fascinating to watch the show and Big Love at the same time. So I'm kind of glad I did it. And I have never seen Big Love before. It's not like I'm rewatching it. Like, I've just never watched it. I'm on season 4 right now and it's terrible. I'll just say it. Like, season 4, not good. But what's interesting about it is like watching the sister wives try to use their relationships as like a crutch. I mean, we'll say it, walking stick, crutch.
there you go.
Right? For when like their main relationship with their husband isn't working so well at that moment. Right? So like, it's this weird thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to like, have this relation, if this relationship isn't working, like at least this one is. And so I think as we found out at the end of the episode, right, not spoiler alert, like Danielle's freaking out because Garrick's going to Brazil for a month, just peacing out for the whole family. Yeah. Right, like they have kids. Like, I was angry watching that. I'm like, he's just gonna leave for a month? What the hell?
He's just gonna fuck off to Brazil.
Like, what? Who does that? But like, and she's like freaking out about the state of their marriage. Like, I think she was already feeling that and was trying to be like, but like, I was gonna have this other relationship to kind of like buttress this, this marriage. I don't know.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
And now back to the fraudcast. Some of that, like when you mentioned it on like from Big Love and stuff, and I think I saw this after so many seasons of Sister Wives and all the other like different polygamous families that they would meet up with and everything. You know, and they come from this world where polygamy is expected, right? So these women rely on these sister wives relationships because their primary marriage is so shitty. Like, that's the model they grew up with. So they grow up going, I have to have a strong relationship with my sister wives. You got Robin freaking out, going, you know, sobbing Robin, crying about not being able to sit on a porch with her sister wives because it's so ingrained into her that you have to have a good relationship with your sister wives because the husband is this whatever patriarchal dick or whatever, and who abandons half of them half the time. So you have to have this strong relationship to, because you can't be alone or whatever it is your reason for wanting to have relationships surrounding you 24/7, which sounds fucking exhausting to me. But
well, and a lot of them don't live right. Like, there's in a lot of polygyny situations, like a lot of them don't live together. So like oftentimes you have to like make a conscious effort to go hang out with sister wives because you're not living in a house together or like in the same neighborhood or block or compound. Like mm-hmm. you're just living in apartments around the same city. Which is why when it was a criminal offense to be polygamous, like it was hard to indict because like it just looked like single moms.
Like, yeah, how do you prove it?
How do you prove so, that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of what got them though was like welfare fraud and things like that.
Right. Yeah, other stuff, not other the polygamy stuff that, part. Yeah. It was like the offshoot, like the other criminal activity.
Right.
But anyway, but like I do think that like she's putting so much effort into like having a relationship with Natalia because like she feels like her marriage is not working right now. Well, lack of marriage because they're divorced technically, legally, but like
yeah,
relationship that she's in.
Yeah, so at the end of it, she's crying, saying she doesn't know what's going to happen with their marriage and that what if it's the end for us? What if he stays there with her? Obviously, what she's if? Going through the thoughts and feelings.
What would so Becca, with your experience and your knowledge of all of this historically and stuff, like if he were to just fuck off to Brazil and just not come back and just leave her, what would her options be, or what would she view her options as, and what do you think she would actually do?
So it's interesting because like normally if they were still legally married, like that's supposed to be for life for people in a more conservative Christian background. Mm-hmm. So, but they divorced. So like, I don't know how the rules apply now because like technically they're divorced, but they're still like deciding to be in a
right.
like, life committed relationship. So I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out for her. Should obviously we know that like we saw previews, they stay together and then they start courting another sister wife mm-hmm. and Natalia's maybe out. Like, we don't know from what we saw.
Right.
But like, so we know this is like, whatever, she's not going to leave him. But,
because Natalia may not be who they think she is, that they learned so much about her after 2 months. Like
right.
after I 2 months, know. They discover that she may not be the same person she was the first 2 months.
So I was on Reddit last week and yeah. Natalia made some comment like, hi, it's Natalia. And people were like, no, it's not. No, she's like, no, it's like really me. And I guess her Reddit link looked legit and things like that. I forgot to tell you guys, but I didn't do too much research on it. But like, when people asked her what happened, she said everything's fine. And like, so me, I don't remember what she said, but basically it made me believe that she was not in contact with them anymore. So throwing that out there, I'll have to find the thread and send it to you guys.
That's interesting.
It's almost as if you couldn't predict who someone's going to be by 2 months of their behavior over a translator app.
With that said though, like I was thinking about this and like other systems of like finding a mate, right? Mm-hmm. In like what is often called arranged marriages. It's more like right. facilitated marriages now. It's not like someone just meets people. It's not like married at first sight anymore. It's usually right. like you know, matchmaker or the parents or whatever, but it's facilitated by someone and then they meet and then they like go on a few dates and like decide if they want to marry. But like right. usually that process isn't super long.
No.
Like, it's usually a few months. So like there are people who do this regularly.
But they know they're not marrying for love. Like they're
right.
not
and they and it's also facilitated
marriage.
So they like know stuff about them, right? Like they have a bio form where
they have
like,
a bio form.
They weight like degrees. Like,
but they're not marrying for love, so they're not expecting to be in love by the time they get married the way Garrick is pretending. Garrick is going into this whole thing like, oh, this is a love marriage. And like in India or whatever, you know, like you're talking about some of the matchmaking, they talk about there's a love marriage and a non-love marriage, right?
Right.
Like, so when you're going into a marriage, a facilitated marriage where you know there's not love yet, your whole purpose is you're picking this person based on these criteria, whatever they may be for you, knowing that you are going to have to learn to love them, that will come, as opposed to Garrick's situation where he's claiming he already loves her. Or like, what's his name of the Alamo clan people, when he's like, I loved her to death, I would have done anything for that girl.
Pay
her gym membership.
Take a bullet for her.
Those are the same, right? Taking a bullet, paying a gym membership. Also, I love how like it's ended so badly, but she still gets a free year of gym membership.
Well, because you know they were trying to keep her by doing that.
Are you sure it's not a month to month membership? He's gonna cancel that plan, that Planet Fitness $10 month plan.
I don't know. I'd be curious to know what happened with that. Like, forget your relationship. I just want to know what happened with the gym membership.
I know, right? Did you get to keep the gym? Did you get to keep it? Did you get him to do a full year in advance?
Now she gets to work out with her new boyfriend on his dime.
You know, right? She's probably been doing that the whole time.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, give that girl props. She's making the hustle work. We didn't see the Dr. Axe
Shane
people
and Ashley.
Yeah, we didn't see them this round.
Thank God.
Yeah,
I needed a break from her.
Yeah, well, it's happening next episode apparently, where he says the famous line they keep putting in previews, where he's like, "I think she's gonna take her away from me.
I'm afraid there's one of these girls is gonna take her away."
I will guarantee you, there's no other girl in the season than that. There's nobody that's gonna.
There never was a girl, so there can't be another girl. Eric shenanigans.
Can I just say, seeing that family unit without Nick was super odd.
Oh yeah. We have to talk about the Davises.
See Nick the whole episode. It was all just the women, and I was like, this is so much more palatable.
Galileo did not make an appearance.
He'll be back next episode, apparently. But
okay, so tell us what happens in the scene, and then I've got thoughts. I've got many.
He was gone like the eclipse. He just disappeared, and then he's back. Okay, so Nick's wives go to a smash room, which again was so freaking fake. Danielle did not look like she wanted to be there. She was not
my
aggressive.
My favorite was
in her
when
smashing.
She threw the cup and it just sort of bounced off the wall.
I liked it at the very end.
Summarizes their relationship.
I don't remember which girl it was, but they threw a chair and it almost looked like it was going in slow motion. But no, that's really just. And it just hits the wall, kind of.
Oh my gosh.
It should be called the tap room instead of the smash room.
People mistake it for a bar.
Well, then she decides to wear like this cut off, what? How do you describe her shirt? It looks like it has like cuts in it,
like a halter
with your boobies hanging out, which is totally fine. But like, you're going to a smash room, like my boobie will just like fly out of one of those little strings, and next thing you know, you got a boobie flying around, you got a chair flying around.
Was holding those things in there.
I feel like it's a safety concern. Just like, what if you puncture your boobie?
Goggles. She needed safety goggles for her knockers that were back
needed a supportive sports bra to prevent him from hitting her.
Okay.
Listen, I've got really huge boobs, and if I were to do that, it could hit me in the face. Like, I could potentially lose an eye. And
yeah, that's like
a
double sports bra situation. Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
No.
So there's a song called Heavy Boobs in it.
I can relate so much. I'm
gonna
have
to Google
it. It's so
good. We should link it in the show notes. But like, it is it's a hilarious music video. Like Rachel Bloom, like it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And so like, nice. I was thinking about that as I was watching this episode, because to be fair, I think she wore like a jacket over the shirt when she was.
That ain't gonna stop
breaking
it.
Things. Well, that's fair, but like I was thinking about that when I saw the shirt she had chosen to wear for that, and I was like, man, like, I mean, that's as someone risk. Who also
that's
is
a fashion risk,
right? Like, as someone who is also well endowed on top, like, I'm very much aware of locking and loading those babies.
Yes,
when you're doing something active.
Yes,
yes, 100%. 100%.
Well, after they go to the tap room, they decide to go to get some lunch and discuss potentially dating again. And April and Jenny, they called her Jenny, Jen are ready to start dating. And Danielle's like, I've had some growing pains around, you know, dating and being a polygamous marriage with wives and kids. But she said she's ready. She's ready to get out there, but she did not look confident in that when she said that statement.
Not at all.
So this is what I have a problem with about this whole scene. So this was all one scene. I mean, like, one day they're all in the same outfit. It's all the same thing. So they're talking at the beginning about how, okay, so Jen and Danielle had that talk, and, you know, and the other girl, the other, well, forget her name. The other girl.
Jen, April, Danielle.
April. Was like, you know, we've been married, you know, we've been together for a while. Like, we forget that not everybody's always on our timeline. We have to be more respectful of that, you know, respectful of that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, that was nice. You know, they're going to, okay, we need to maybe back off and maybe incorporate her feelings a little bit. They go to the rage room. Oh, this is great. You know, we're doing this thing for you. Immediately after. So what do you think about dating? You ready to start dating again? How about now? How about now?
I have a timeline question. So, like, they said that they had that conversation with her, like the one that we saw between her and April, I think, like 3 weeks before that or something. So, like, how long did they wait until they were like, you're good with us dating again, right? Like, was it a couple months?
Not even. It's hard to say. I don't know. It seems like a lot less than that.
Well, the way they film it, I'm sure it was just a couple days. They try to act like it's spread out, but we all know it's been like 48 hours.
It was like, if that, I mean, this was all like, you know, after the rage room, but before getting coffee or drinks or wherever they went, they were like, yeah, we need to back off and like incorporate her feelings more. And then 20 minutes later, they're like, so you ready to start dating? And
I'm like, so, like, here's my question though. Like, she knows she's on a show called Seeking Sister Wife. So did she really think they were going to give her time?
Right,
because then there's no show. Like,
exactly.
I don't know.
Well, that's why she took her plants and moved out, got a lease.
It's wild.
Oh yeah, but yeah, we did get to see them without Nick.
Yeah, they're growing on me. Nick not so much, but the wives are. I still hate Nick.
Can we talk about the eyelash situation?
Yeah, one of her eyelashes was put, like, I don't know, they looked like off.
They look like two different sizes, two different,
like, I've done that when I put my fake eyelashes on. If I do it too high on the lid,
yeah,
like it looks like it's like too vertical. And the other one looked normal, and the other one was like, dude, like, yeah, she flicked it up accidentally and she looked like she had
yeah
that,
and I feel bad for it because, like, I'm terrible with lashes too, like, I mean, but like,
somebody from the show should
check
have
yourself.
Well, and that, so, like, before I went on my show, I was like reading everything I could find online for like tips if you were gonna go get filmed for a reality show. Because I was like terrified. And one of the things they said is, like, if you're on a reality show, like, the crew isn't gonna tell you if you look like crap because, like, it's makes better for good TV. And yeah, so, like, look in a mirror like multiple times before you go anywhere on camera. And that's what I was
so
thinking of.
Oh,
when
no.
I was watching that, I was like, oh man. And no one said anything because it's like, oh well, whatever, people make comments about our lashes, you know.
Thank god I had good producers because they were stopping us left and right.
Good.
Yeah, mine weren't like that, but I know for other shows.
Yeah, makes sense. Remember when Darcy and Stacey were walking around, one of them with the hair extensions, like, all out of place?
Well, they look,
see the
they
clips.
Look half, they look half in the bag every time they go out. Their eyelashes, their extensions are all bad.
I was just like, dang, nobody said, hey, fix your extension. Come on.
No, because it makes good TV, because it makes you look like you're not together. Right?
It's good memes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we did see briefly the Ryan family, but I mean,
like,
it was for
two seconds.
Yeah.
And what did they even say?
So after they arrived back home from stalking Stephanie, Justin said that he can't keep chasing her and that she doesn't have any respect for him. or the relationship. And he said when it happened.
That's why she left it. Dumbass.
He wanted to bust windows out of his car, but now he just wants to move on. And I'm going to go work out and let out my emotions. And that was.
Did anybody else find that thing. Scary? When he was like, what, I want to part? Bust out every window in my car?
Yes and no, because yeah. I feel the same way. Like, I get angry like that. And I feel I have those thoughts.
Okay. All right.
But that's me. And I'm not a man. And I'm not. You know,
guy who's intimidating when he shows up unannounced at somebody's house. Right.
I'm not stalking people and showing up their houses. So it's a different. I can't really compare, but I get it being upset and wanting to, you know, I've joked with you, Katrina, about the things I've wanted to do to like exes or whatever, but I'm not going to say them here.
No.
No. But my point
that
is,
group chat is not getting leaked.
The evidence.
The evidence. That,
oh, Danielle.
Danielle.
No, those phones are getting destroyed.
Yes. And that was basically the episode. Nothing else really happened.
It's the Garrick show.
Right.
Just Garrick's world and we're all just living in it.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because that's I think that's the only family unit that like hasn't not been in an episode.
Well, they're the only one with a genuine storyline.
Yeah, like all the other like family units have been skipped over for an episode or two, right? Because
mm-hmm. They don't have enough storyline to.
Yeah, but Mary and Fields are the ones that we see. Every
and we could even
episode.
See more of them because clearly there's a lot more that they're filming that we're not getting like their whole time down there with Natalia.
I find it interesting, too, that we see next time that Garrick is in Brazil. So we hear and that. He is planning on marrying her without any of his family there. It make sense.
Like they
had actually said at one point that he's not on good terms with his family.
No, but his like nuclear family, his like birth family, but like with
his
Bert,
sons,
they were planning. Yeah, they were planning like a whole wedding with Danielle and the kids and all that.
Yeah,
with,
yeah, like his immediate family.
Right.
His
immediate family. Yeah.
So I'm assuming he's just going to marry this chick without anyone there.
Yeah, because I think Danielle's too pregnant to fly. And Garrick doesn't care because God told him
that he needs to
warm embrace to marry her within this timeline.
Right.
Or he's going to combust. I don't know. I don't know. What happens if you don't do it? What happens if you don't obey God?
Okay, so there's a lot of thought processes on this. some people just say like you missed your chance, screw you, basically. Like
missed your chance for what?
Like to do whatever God wanted you to do. Like you missed your chance, you don't get to do it again. But there's a lot of people who say like, oh, well, like God's God and like God's gonna find another way for like things to happen if like you missed your chance because God is a God of second chances.
God wanted me to go run a marathon. Guess what? I didn't do it. Sorry, God. Like what happened to me? I missed my chance to run a marathon.
Yeah.
What are the consequences for sinning in that case? Or like, this is a very deep question at the end of our.
So what happens to Garrick if he doesn't obey God's very specific command to marry and rail this girl?
Right.
ASAP?
So I mean, I'm not Garrick, so I can't interpret, but like, but I would guess that like, there's not the urgency that he is placing on this in any way, shape, or form.
You just said it, Becca. You said that there's some people believe there's a second opportunity. So there's just another 20-some-year-old girl waiting in Brazil to be
as we see on an upcoming episode. There's another. Oh, but she's not Brazilian.
Right.
The Israeli, right?
Right.
No.
She's from Michigan.
Yeah. She's
no, but she comes from.
She's Muslim.
Muslim. That's it.
But she's American.
Yeah. And that's maybe how he sees it is like, okay, well, like God's given me a second chance to like obey. So here I go.
But he probably sees whatever happens with Natalia as he was obeying God and it fell apart for. So what's the justification? Like, what kind of bullshit is he going to spew? If he's following God, and then this whole thing falls apart. What's that? Is that God's plan too?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Is that
right? Or he puts it on Athalia and says, oh, well, she's a sinner and she didn't do what God wanted us to do, or some version of the two.
Okay.
What's interesting is, I think, and as you were talking, I had this realization that, like, the reason they keep putting in all of the God stuff that Garrick is saying, like, the reason that's making the edit is because they know it falls apart later.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So, like,
they always set you up subtly, like, yeah, set you up for the.
So as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that's why they keep putting it in, is because to remind us, like, oh, Garrick says this is what God said to do. This is what God said to do. And then when it falls apart, it's like, oh, well, did God say to do that?
Mm. Oh, this is going to be interesting then, to see what he's, what kind of bullshit he's going to do, what parts of the Bible he's going to pull from.
Garrick probably dug his own grave when he decided to extend his stay for a month in Brazil. And Natalia was probably like, no, I can't deal with this craziness.
It was like, what?
Crazy man. Had it only been 2 weeks, maybe she wouldn't have seen the full crazy. But he extended his trip and now she's probably like, nope.
Yeah. A month like, is a long time.
It is. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine leaving my child for a month unless it was something like I needed to do, right? Like I have to work or like I have to do whatever, not I have to get some ass, because that's really what it's about, right?
Well, and how is he working for a month? Like, I'm like, what kind of privileged dude is this that he can just like.
They're apparently their company, their custom home construction company, and his like brother or whatever, her brother, whoever that. The other Sam and the people did whatever, those people, the siblings, like they all do, like they own the school. Like Garrick owns it. I was gonna say Garrick and Danielle, right. But I'm sure she doesn't have any ownership stake. Right. Owns, and it does really well, apparently. But
I'm gonna look them up.
So I don't know if it's like, you know, because it's construction and he, you know, God's gonna take care of him or whatever, and maybe it's cyclical, or maybe he's the boss and he doesn't have to be there for all the things, and Danielle's home doing all the work anyway. Like, what does he need to be there for? He's got God's important work to rail down in Brazil.
I don't know. I'm just like, I wish I could just like step away for a month. For like,
wouldn't that be
I
nice?
Want.
It's a right? sabbatical. I'm going on a ass sabbatical.
An ass sabbatical.
Yep. It's a bicycle.
It's a sabbatical. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Amazing.
Oh god.
These people.
God. Oh my god. Okay. So I think that's it. That's all we got. Okay.
I can't believe we did that episode already.
Yep, that's it.
Not much content.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Okay, bye.
Bye.